I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 36. And we could have went the NASCAR route with this car today, but no, we're not. We're going to do the number 36 DXDT Corvette Z06, driven by Robbie Wickens, Tommy Milner, and every once in a while, Alec Udell. This is the car with the hand controls.
Oh, yeah. It's all souped up.
All souped up. Had a great debut race and got posed because someone ran into the back of them.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right. On tonight's episode, we'll close out the NASCAR season mercifully. And NASCAR goes out. It's typical crap style. Deserved everything they got this weekend. Two formats.
Yep.
We will look ahead to Brazil this weekend. The Gran Primo de Brazil. We have our picks. Nate from afar has his picks in, so we'll do that. We'll have news and notes. Oh, we'll also look ahead to Bahrain. Final of the WEC race season this year.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And
snuck up quickly.
Yep. After a month and a break. Farewell again to Porsche. Quickly becoming the Ford of motor racing.
Yeah.
Yep. Although they'll be racing in IMSA.
That's true. Are they?
And Formula E.
I guess I'm sort of jumping around a little bit, but it was the press release that they're gone from both classes, or they're just gone from hypercar?
Just from hypercar.
Okay. Yeah. So there'll still be Porsche in GT. So
GTP.
No.
Porsche will be
sorry,
in GTP.
GT3 in.
Well, Manti will be running.
Yes.
That. Yeah. But.
Yeah.
But the you can't run the.
The top level program. No. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right. You can't run the top level program.
Yep. All right. NASCAR, we'll get it done and over with.
We'll talk. Yeah. WEC. And there's still a championship there. I forgot about that.
It'll be a long haul. If it happens.
And then we got plenty of news and notes out there. So a lot of stuff happened today, too. All right. Let's get rolling. All right. NASCAR. And just to cap off a weekend. What a way to cap off a season. Now, the race... Now, if we want to talk, I've never seen track limits in NASCAR before, but I don't get Phoenix. Like, you're just allowed to drive anywhere on the apron?
If it's paved, you can use it.
Really?
Wow. I mean, at least they're somewhat consistent with that.
Yeah, it's like there's no rule.
Yeah, like... If it's paved and it's faster, just use it. Like,
yeah. But like 3 years ago, you wouldn't dare. That wasn't allowed.
Well, a few years ago, there was also grass there at that corner, so you couldn't.
I know, they should just put grass back. I know.
Yeah, you couldn't do that.
I know. It's just like whatever.
But okay. But if you,
because now,
if, yeah, if you put ahead. The grass there, sorry. Then you can't have these seven wide moments that they had in, what was it, the truck race or the Xfinity race?
Whatever, they may have even had it in the cup race. Who knows? I could care less. Can we just stay on the track above the inside the lines that designate the track? Because I love that they come through three and four and guys are trying to pit, yet some guy's charging through the apron. Makes complete sense. Safety. So I don't know. I'm waiting to see. Will the IndyCar guys be down on the apron?
Oh, that's a good... Actually, that's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would probably say not, because that transition is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. The other storyline of this race was right front tires blown.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
I didn't watch any of this racing, so like you're
why? Well,
you're all on your own on this one. I just saw the
I know
saw
I know.
Who won, it's and just, it's the same same it's BS just, every week. So just, I just
it's the same. It was it was the same BS. It was also just the absolute BS of yeah. It was an absolute BS in trucks. This playoff system created an absolute BS system for trucks, Xfinity, and Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Unreal. You know, but hey, you know, it builds fan excitement. Well, fans got robbed of what really went on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, at the end of the day, Ryan Blaney won the race. As Nate's guy, Bad Brad, faded.
Yeah.
Guy's leading. Guy's leading, going into three and four, and just loses it.
That was the first thing I picked up on. I didn't even. Like,
yeah.
I was seeing who was winning the race, and it was not Bad Brad.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't Bad Brad. That's for sure.
So with that, Blaney wins the race. That means he wins the championship, right?
No, he does not, because he got knocked out.
Oh, so you can still race but not be in contention.
Right. Now, I thought
in this new system.
This was kind of funny. So at the beginning of the race, I did not pay attention to qualifying, and then it was in the exact same points order. Like Hamlin, Byron, Larson, and who was the other one?
Briscoe?
Was it Bell? Was it Briscoe or Bell? Oh, Briscoe.
One of the two.
It was Briscoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were the first four cars. So I go, oh, just because they're the first four in the championship, they qualify up front?
Ha.
But apparently, they actually qualified on speed up front. Well, I still kind of go, I'm not so sure about that. But it was. You know, race started off fine. Denny kind of dominated the first part of the race. Briscoe was in the second part of the race, and then there was a little bit of some shenanigans going on, and then things get mixed up. Guys are blowing tires. Toyotas start blowing engines, which was like, oh, this is entertaining. Because, you know, Briscoe and Denny are got Toyotas. So that was entertaining. Larson was doing his usual thing of just hanging around. So that was kind of entertaining. And, you know, there was a couple of... Almendinger had a crash because the right front tire blew. I mean, it was just like the tires would blow, and it's like, oh, you know, the car just goes sailing right into the wall. Just, it was unreal. Unreal. Comes down, and in typical NASCAR fashion, we have to have green, white checker. This time, Keselowski leads into the flag. Blaney's there, but Larson's in the top four. So Denny's back a bit because he pitted. The others, and Benny's back. Who else? Boom, Byron pitted too. So, like, and then Byron had a crash, so he was out. I mean, it was just like, oh, God. So they throw it and they all go. So Larson does the smart thing and just goes around the outside like he's seen a sprint car, which is, it was kind of hilarious. And he just, you know, he keeps riding around out there because no one's out there, and his car was fine. Mm-hmm. You know, then he's trying to wheel through traffic. He gets up to about, the farthest he got up to was sixth, where he finished. But then Bad Brad leads going into three, and then just looked like they put the parachute out on the car, and it just went backwards. And Blaney comes around for the win. Larson tried to sneak it in there to go. He went from the top. He stayed up top. And Blaney stayed at the bottom and got him. But, oh, my God, I thought Larson was – if Larson won it, it would have been even better. But, anyways, Larson finishing third. He is your 2025 NASCAR Cup champion for a second time, right, which I'm all for, you know. And then we, you know, after the race, you know, Denny's, you know, doing Denny things. And everyone else is, you know – pissed off and that, and I go, well, here you go, this is exactly what you get. Wasn't as bad as last year when you get a guy that just made it winning it, which was ridiculous, who wasn't in the points all season. But still, your overall points leader, you know. Mm-hmm. So and then the same thing happened in the Xfinity series. So it's complete, you know, complete garbage. We'll see what they do. You know, the media, though, will keep telling you how great the playoff system is. NASCAR will tell you how great it is. But I will say this, fans vote with their wallet and their TV viewing. So,
yeah. Just the only bit of research that I'm doing on NASCAR at this point in time is just the theory of, does every race finish under a green-white checkered? Well,
yes.
The number of green-white checkers was less
this year
compared to last year. Last year, out of 36 races, last year there was only 13 races that went into overtime, and then this year there was only eight.
Feels like more.
Well, it feels like more because same as last year, as this year, there was three green-white checkers in the playoffs. But in last year, there was two in round one and then one in round two, whereas this year, there was one in the last three rounds. So it just felt more prevalent for that reason in itself. But, mm-hmm. I mean... One of them was Dega, and I'm not shocked by that. This last race for the championship, I mean, I wouldn't say that it's a crazy track where you'd have cautions, you know, every single minute of the race, or I guess potential to have cautions with close running like you would at Dega, but considering the tires were exploding, then, or just, you know, falling off and causing chaos that way.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that definitely contributes to it. The other note too is that Dover and the Brickyard 400, they went into overtime, but the commonality between those two races was that they both were weather delayed. So, change of track surface in the middle of the race. So, just interesting notes from that. I think having the championship end the way it did, I mean, for drivers, they say you're only as good as your last race, and, you know, for the NASCAR product or for any product that you sell and put out for entertainment, you're only last as good as your last show, and I not to beat a dead horse even more, but I mean,
let's beat it.
They pretty much showed exactly what was wrong with the whole system with this one race.
Mm-hmm. 100% agree.
So
I thought the whole weekend, the two races, the Cup and the Xfinity race, showed what's wrong.
Yeah, and I mean every category did just that. I mean, like, I get it. You know, are people into the in the championship right down to the last race? Yeah. Well, I mean, when you artificially make it happen like this, of course it is. I mean, Connor Zilich getting robbed in Xfinity, like, that's...
Yep.
I mean, if I was the one that won Xfinity, I would just take the trophy and just go hand it to him, because, like, you know you didn't win it the way it should be. But I get that, right. I understand that also this is the system and this is how it is. So your name is engraved in history now. Whether it's
there you go.
Whether the format or even the regulations for the cars are favorable or not favorable. Like, however you want to look at it. Racing is racing, so you just go and do it.
All right. There we go. Denny finished second, Chase Briscoe third, and William Byron fourth in the points. We don't need to go beyond that because it doesn't matter. It only matters with four.
Nope. And now we get 3 months without NASCAR. Woo!
That's right.
Woohoo!
3 months. Thank God. All right. Okay. All right, let's talk Ibrizella. Rain.
Is it gonna rain?
There's threat of rain.
We
have a sprint race.
Sao Paulo weather. Friday is gonna be cloudy, very low chance of rain. Saturday, there's a little bit higher chance of rain. It's still under 50%, but it's there.
Yep. Just depends on when it happens.
And there's also another 20% chance of rain on Sunday, so who knows at this point. I guess at this point, it's unlikely, but there's a chance. And yes, yep. As you alluded to, there is a sprint race this weekend, so more points up for grabs.
That is fantastic.
I guess I really don't have much more of a preview to this. Like, if it rains, then Max is obviously in contention. But if it doesn't, then will he be in contention? I guess that's probably the...
Yeah, we'll have to see
where to leave it. I mean, it's kind of last year has continued into this year, even though the McLaren car has been so dominant. Where this last half of the season, mm-hmm. it's been kind of a toss up. You just don't know who's going to be good or not. I mean,
yeah,
a few years ago Mercedes won with this car, and then then last year was Max's rain win. Granted, yes, he had the red flag fall in his favor, but still, he had played it right. Before that, the McLarens were out in front, no problem. So, I guess we'll see.
Shall we get into our picks?
Sure.
All right. Nate from across the world,
mm-hmm.
texts in. Max for the win. Oscar, then Lewis. And his dark horse is Carlos.
All righty.
Mm-hmm. I am going to go Max for the win.
Okay.
I'm going to go Stahl in third. And I think Lewis is going to, I agree with Nate, take the podium here. It's going to be a Ferrari 2-3.
All righty.
My dark horse, I'm going to go Gabby Bortarello. Home race, he's on form.
So. Yep. I'm going to be boring and just say Lando and then Oscar.
Okay.
Third, I'm going to pick Russell.
George. Okay.
Yeah, but my dark horse is going to be Bearman.
Ollie, I like that. Ollie's on form as well.
Yep.
Like that. Okay. All right.
So yeah, that's that.
That's Brazil.
Yeah.
Not much to say.
No, just kind of in a holding pattern to see what happens.
Yep.
Any other news or anything like that. There was a rumor about. About Tsunoda going to IndyCar, but that was about it.
Oh, we can get to that later.
Yeah. I don't have anything more to it than that. I was just interesting.
It's been out there.
So
it was out there. All right, let's get to WEC Bahrain.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. Final race of the season and final race for Porsche in the hypercar class.
Yeah. Yeah, like we mentioned before, it stinks that they're not going to be running anymore in the top class. It's been fun watching them. They're just pulling out.
Yep.
Still going to race in IMSA, but won't be at Le Mans, which is a shame.
Unless there is some type of reprieve in WC and two Porsches do take to the grid, but
yeah,
no one is certain of that at this point.
Well, actually, who won the IMSA title?
Matty Campbell. So, doesn't get you an automatic bid.
Yeah, and Porsche technically does pay the manufacturer entry fee already in WEC because the GT3 car is running there.
I heard this discussed on an earlier podcast today, and it's also it has to be done at the hypercar level.
Okay, so it is it's separate. So if you
yes,
so if the fee's a million, you got to put up two if you want to run in
two,
both.
Right? Yeah, okay. Yeah,
gotcha.
Something like that.
All right. Well, that's I guess if Acura won the title, then that would be the their situation's a little bit simpler because they're just not running as Honda
right.
over there. So
the other thing is the other thing is what was I gonna say? If they were to pull the plug completely on the program, I guess Penske being Penske had something built in the contract that they tried to pull it completely.
Mm-hmm.
The out fee to close out that thing was enormous.
Yeah.
So Penske would have walked away making money.
If true, very smart.
I kind of believe it. So.
Mm.
All right. I'm kind of waiting for that to start. So looking forward to that. Other thing going on this weekend. This is always exciting. The Lamborghini Super Trofeo World Finals is this weekend for Mizuno. 81 cars. So looking forward to that.
That'll be cool.
Yep. Post Bahrain, we have the rookie test, which is kind of it's kind of laughable. I'm trying to find the so they have 26 cars for this test, all right? And you're supposed to, you know, this is like to give up and coming drivers a chance, right? And then you have like a third driver. You can nominate a driver to do setup laps, so they're only allowed 5 on the first day and 5 on the second. But when I'm looking at this list, I mean, seriously, in hypercar, let's just talk Cadillac with the Chota team. They're going to run one car. It's got Jack Aiken and Ricky Taylor. Earl Bamber is designated as the setup driver.
Sure. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. They got two cars. Sorry. They're each driving both cars.
My God.
Okay. Then in the Alpine, we have Antonio Felix da Costa. I'm like, really? Okay. Toyota. This is interesting. One car, we have Ben Barnicot, which is good because he's stepping up from GT.
Yes. Okay. That makes sense.
And Sascha Frenstraz, who I think is also stepping up from GT. Mm-hmm. However, in the second car, Brandon Hartley and Mike Conway.
Oh, my God. Get...
And then we go down to Peugeot. They're running one of their new drivers, Nick Cassidy. And then Nick's running in two cars with Alexander Quinn, who is coming over to try that out. Matthias Bech will be doing the setup work on that car. And then Malte Jakobsen in the other car. So at least Alpine is putting drivers in.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, same can be said for Ferrari. Lilo Wadu will be driving one car. And Alessio Rivera is driving the other car. So at least Ferrari's showing up, you know, thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Proton is driving, their car is here, and Dorian Bacalacci is driving that car. Man with the Italian last name, but he's from France. Love that. GT, it's, I don't know, I'm just kind of looking to see if there's any, there's not really a lot of new stuff going on there. Just people trying out the cars, that's about it. But yeah, I like that. Ricky Taylor and Jack Aiken. Makes sense.
Yeah. Rookies to WEC.
Yeah. Yep. TWEC. Yep. All right.
Even though more sport... those guys have all raced in WEC at Le Mans, technically.
Yeah. Yeah. And run a similar car here. Okay. Let's talk. Hold on a second. Great. Having a little problem here. Some more sports car news. Pratt Miller has listed their drivers for the LMP2 car again this year. Chris Cumming and Pietro Fittipaldi will run for the full season. They will be joined in the Michelin Endurance Series by Manuel Espirito Santo. For the two big races, at least, for Le Mans and, I mean, sorry, for Sebring and Daytona, then joined by Pietro's brother, Enzo.
That's cool.
That's very cool. Riley, on the GT side today, announced a couple of their drivers for their car. Felipe Fraga will be staying with Riley, and he'll be the lead driver for the Mustang GT3. He will be joined by Chyna Monk for the season. And their third driver will be Jensen Altman. And the fourth driver looking for right now. Hold on, it was announced. Guess it wasn't announced. Thought it was. Might be Gar. Might be back for a couple races.
I mean, not a bad driver either.
No, not bad. There was that. Oh, in WEC, after his short departure, Stoffel Vandoorne is back with Peugeot.
All right, that's good to see.
Yep, his deal with Genesis Magma fell apart. And then Jean-Éric Vernet stepped down from his seat to take a management role. And they brought Stoffel back. So, good there. Well, that's good. I like Stoffel.
Yeah. I guess that's an unfortunate situation. Or circumstances of how that
sucks. Why, sorry, why you're out, but now you're back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Corvette Racing. At least it worked out for him. Corvette Racing, Pratt & Miller. Corvette Racing by Pratt & Miller. Why can't you just call it Pratt & Miller? And why is it Pratt & Miller? It's like Pratt and Miller. I like that.
I think it flows better. Yeah, I think there's...
I think it's the new corporate marketing. Yeah, whatever. Plus, you know, anyways. Anyways, the factory Corvette team. Let's put it that way. In IMSA only. Has announced their drivers for this year. We have... hold on. I hate when they don't do this. The number four Corvette will have Nicky Katzberg and Tommy Milner. While the number three will have Antonio Garcia and Alexander Sims.
Reliable stuff.
Very good. And then let's see, who is they announced the other two drivers. Hold on a second. Whoever does this is...
Which one are you looking for?
They announced the third drivers for both cars. Okay, one is Marvin Kirchhoffer, who was in the... he was at AWA. He's replaced in Danny Yukadella.
Oh, okay.
Because he moved on to, I think he's going to Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm trying to find out who the other one is. Can't find it. I don't think there was a change on this one.
Well, I mean, we can leave it and come back to it.
Hold on. I'm going to go to a better website. Give me a second.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that was done. I said that. Hold on. Hold on. Here it is. Should have went to this website first. Oh, Nico Verone. How did I forget him?
I don't know.
I have no idea. That guy's awesome. Just needed to go to the better website, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have some other news that broke today. Ollie Jarvis will be joining John Field, name from the past, in IMSA. John drove his team Intersport back in the ALMS days. So they are coming back. He's running that in conjunction with HMD Motorsports, who runs in Indy NXT. So the John and Ollie, joined by Seth Lucas and Jaap van Uter for the long races. So that's exciting.
Good lineup.
It is a good lineup. Then the big news, Shank Racing, Michael Shank. He's going all in to win Daytona this year.
Yeah, he is.
So they announced the driver lineup. This is crazy. So the number 60 car will have full-time drivers Tom Blomqvist and Colin Brown and Scott Dixon. No shot there. The number 93 will have Renge van der Zander and Nick Yellerly in it. They will be joined by Alex Palou and the Honda factory driver, Kaku Ota. That's pretty quick. He did pretty good in his IndyCar test, too.
Yeah.
But the big news is a fourth driver in the number 60 car. AJ Allmendinger. This is going to be entertaining.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting to see.
Yeah, very exciting. So looking forward to that. That'll be fun. Good to see the Dinger back in sports cars.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That covers all the sports car news. IndyCar, there was some news. Olivia Boston, who was Romain Grosjean's engineer at both Andretti and Dale Coyne, is moving on to Arrow McLaren to lead their damper program. And over at Arrow McLaren, as the door turns over there, Brian Barnhart, who was there for a season, and Kyle Sagan are leaving and going to Rahal Letterman Lanigan. Good stuff going on over at McLaren. Yep. A lot of continuity over there. Not so much the Boisson thing, because he's doing the damper, which is pretty much, that's like the biggest thing in IndyCar racing. But, I mean, the management changes over there are just, like, hilarious, so kind of enjoy it. So good on Rahal Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think, at least on my end, I have covered all the news that I can find.
Oh, but you've left out one hot rumor. The man who couldn't make turn three at Phoenix has come out and said he wants to be a part of IMSA again with the new Ford program.
Oh, bad breath.
Yeah. So
it'd be entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, if RFK ends up running a Ford hypercar program,
should be entertaining.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. But
well, don't forget the R in RFK
is Roush. Yeah,
and Roush ran back in the IMSA GT GTO days, yes, as well as in the GTP days, and look, they are capable of doing that. There is the money available from Fenway Sports Group, as you know. I don't even know if Bad Brad knows how to turn left and right. So, God only knows. I'm surprised that he could say hypercar. Needle.
Nate's just getting the stick driven.
Nate's just getting the stick driven right. Yeah. But anyways, all right.
He will not tolerate Bad Brad Slater.
I don't understand how that's going to happen, because Ford says they're doing this thing all in house. So. I have no idea.
We'll see. I mean, they're also Ford also said that they're going to go run the program in
WEC
first, and then IMSA. So
then, yeah,
Maybe yeah. by the time they roll around into IMSA, that's where RFK would come into play there.
Right. But then again, hey, you know, there's you know, Ganassi and Penske, so why bother?
yeah, there are other capable programs that are out there.
Yep, there certainly are.
So
Ray Hall Letterman too.
Yeah, that's the other one.
Yep. So plenty to come there.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the Lambo's coming back.
I would like to see it come back.
I think so too.
But I mean, really, just up to Lamborghini themselves. So, I think it started bad ever since they wrote that first car off in, what was it, in testing?
Yeah, It just never rebounded.
Yeah, it just never seemed.
They wrote that car off and didn't have a third car.
Yeah,
that was the problem.
Yeah,
so
that was too bad.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's it for this week. very light for what it is. I mean, most of the actual come to next week's discussion. So, but yeah, we are nearing the end of the racing season, and I mean, just about everything's wrapped up aside from F1 and well. WC will be wrapped up this weekend, so
we shall see.
Yeah.
And on that note,
good night. Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.